Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center here at Intentional Life Media. My name, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of Intentional Living for our ministry here, as I said, Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. And I start with this. My bet is that today your life is either like a rock or a rocket. You're either feeling stuck or you're moving forward, right? And I want to talk about what that really means in terms of the power as a follower of Jesus Christ for the next one thing in your life. So come on in. We got 28 minutes that are going to transform lives, encourage you, help you, no matter where you are. If you're in business, running a business, if you're at home, if you're a school teacher, a homemaker, young or old, this lesson today is going to be powerful, and the stories you're going to hear are going to be very practical for you. Come on in. That's why we do this. I'll tell you what, we're talking about the power of one thing today. And I had a chance to write a book on that topic that's gone out around the world. And it really addresses this thing of being a rock or a rocket in life. Did any of you remember in physics class, did you all have a physics class in school? Some of you did, some didn't. But you remember the first law of motion? Anybody raise their hand? Do you get it? Jennifer, do you remember the first law of motion? She's looking. She's thinking, all right. Think about Sir Isaac Newton back in the 1600s. He came up with the first law and other laws of motion. And the first law of motion is called inertia. And inertia is simply put that an object will stay in its current state unless it's acted on. A rock just sits there. And the only way you can change the state of that rock is to grab it with your hands or a shovel or whatever and pick it up. And that requires energy. It's been acted on. And so you're either a rock sitting there waiting for something to happen or a rocket. Look at it. They just launched SpaceX. I was watching that. They just launched the largest rocket of all times out of Texas. And to see that thing, you know, shooting through the atmosphere and see the resistance it was getting from gravity and the fire coming out of the back of that thing, there was a lot of action going on there, a lot of power to raise that rocket into space. And so today, this law of motion, what does this have to do with intentional living? I'll tell you what it has to do, everything, because the same law works in your life. If you're today feeling like I'm a rock, kind of stuck, my marriage is stuck, I'm stuck spiritually, that's very discouraging. And unless there's something that's acted on your life, in your life, you're going to just stay there. Or on the other hand, if things are, you ever have these, you're in that sweet spot in life, everything's just working. The marriage is working, the finances is working, life's working. That's momentum. And I would just say to business people, anybody, if you run a sports team or a business or anything, you know when momentum is working, that's a beautiful thing. It seems like a team that's winning just can't lose. Now, as Christians, what does all this mean to us today? I kind of look at it this way. I'd like to follow what Paul says with this topic about the power of one thing. In other words, exerting some pressure into one thing in my life that moves it forward in a healthy way. And it could be a really simple thing. Because Paul says to us, forgetting those things which are behind, this one thing I do, I press toward the goal. One thing. He was putting all of his energy, his life, his priorities into that one thing. It's huge. Now, there's a scripture we're going to get to in a moment to kind of set the stage for all of this. But I want to open the phone lines, and I want to play a caller that I talked to some time ago. That's a really simple, basic example of this thing of saying, hey, I'm going to do this one thing, and it's going to make a difference in my marriage. So we're not talking necessarily about the big things. We're saying, what one thing for the next 30 days, if you were to put your spiritual, relational, financial, whatever energy into, would make the single biggest difference in your life for God's glory and your benefit? This is not just about you being more successful, by the way, as a Christian. And I'll give you the verse here in a moment. So I want to open the phone lines because our time is short. What one thing have you been doing? It could be just it could be a big thing, could be a small thing, but it's made a difference in your life and you want to give a shout out, give God the glory for it, and tell us what difference it's made. All right, phone lines open, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. I want you to hear a caller. I talked to Michael from Missouri, and this is just a really simple thing. You'll get it when you hear what he says, but it's something he decided to do in his marriage that's made a difference for the two of them. Take a listen.
So I kind of found the biggest thing that helped our marriage is just, if I ask the question, are you looking for compassion or are you looking for a solution?
Yeah.
We would get home after a long day's work. We have the kids, and she was homeschooling the kids, and I'd get home and she would, you know, start to unload things. And my brain, you know, of course, because the work I do, I'm trying to figure out how to fix it all. I'm trying to figure out what the solution is, who she should talk to, who we should talk to, who at the school we need to call, who at her work we need to call, who she can call, what we need to do about it, what bill needs to be paid, doesn't need to be paid, how we can figure it out. And, you know, that's where I'm at. And then whenever, you know, she would get done speaking, I would unload the solution. And she's like, no, I already fixed it. I was just telling you about all these frustrations that I had today.
So you wasted all that mental energy and time.
Yeah, and then to be honest, I'm not listening. I have almost stopped listening to what she's actually saying because I'm trying to figure out how to fix the problem, you know, that she was speaking about. So, you know, I find that, you know, when we start off those conversations, if I, you know, even if I stop her story and I say, hey, do we need a solution for this, or is this something that, you know, you think we have figured out? It just solves a lot of tension overall.
All right. Now I would say to Michael, turn to God and say, God, thank you for giving me that insight to do that. Because that's going to make my marriage better, make my wife happy, going to make our family better, and I give you glory for it. Now, let me give you a verse, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to get to your calls. I would just love to hear, what's something in your life, I don't know if it's for your health, your finance, maybe it's with the kids, with your marriage, personal life, that you've instituted, you've done, you stepped up, and you want to give a shout out and say, I want to give God the glory because I've been doing this and he's been blessing it. All right, here's the verse. If you go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I encourage you to write this down and make it a little study for yourself. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says here that we are to trust, by the way, that word trust means reliance, to rely upon the Lord, trust in the Lord, right? With all of your heart. The word heart in the Bible means your emotions, your mind, your will, your thoughts. Lean not on your own understanding, that's your own reasoning, but in all your ways acknowledge him. When you acknowledge somebody, you recognize they're there. So you're saying, Lord, you're present in this. Then it says he'll give you the direction you need to take. So if you find yourself beating yourself against the wall with your head, not coming up with what I should be doing to make my marriage better, my life better, my finances, whatever it is, it's probably because if you're a Christian, you're violating this great proverb. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your emotions. Don't lean on your own reasoning. In all your ways, acknowledge, God, you are here. I love you and I trust you. Then, Lord, please direct my path, and he will. All right. What do you think? What have you learned? What's one thing you want to give a shout out today that you've been doing? Really practical. That's intentional living. And or one thing for the next 30 days. You say, I want to make that commitment right here nationally, globally on intentional living. We'll pray with you. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt, for that reminder. We appreciate your support. Thank you for standing with us. And I've always told you here at Intentional Living, we just as transparent as we need to be and always try to be in terms of where we are, ministry, because you all support the ministry. And I got a report from Tanya in our business department. She gives a report on how we're doing with our support. And as of going into the end of the month here, right, the 31st is coming up in a couple days. The report shows that for this month, we are right now just $4,557 short. And I don't know. I was thinking about this as I was driving into the studio today, just to throw out there. Maybe it's you. Maybe God's blessed you, and you just say, I get it, and I'd like to have it close this month off and be where we need to be, and let's go into this upcoming fundraising time and be strong so we can reach more people for Christ. Here you go. Randy, I'm going to be sending in or giving a gift right now online or whatever of $4,557. Maybe you can't do that, but you could do part of that. Maybe you could do it all. And so that was the exact number I just looked at on online, $4,557. To hit it for August. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or you can call the same number, 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. And when you do, just press number 2 and talk to our team. The power of one thing. That's what we're talking about today.
Well, good morning, Dr. Randy. I appreciate your program very much. And my one thing that I'm doing is a recent change. I've been a believer for 40-some years now, and I've always been a prayer, and there's been some challenges in my life with my marriage, and so I've been through a whole gambit of things of how to handle the challenges, and yet there has been no change. And so my most recent one thing is in the morning before I start the day, I just slide out of bed and drop to my knees and pray and ask the Lord, number one, that I will love Him with my whole heart, my whole soul, my mind, and all my strength. And then I ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance in my marriage and my day. I take a deep breath and say, we're out there together, Lord, and go for it. I don't need to give Him details. I'm sure He's got it all. So I just pray that things will work out to His honor and glory. Thank you, Dr. Randy. I do appreciate your program, and even just this one thing has made some little changes in my marriage. And it's not about the changes that I see in the marriage. It's about the changes in me. And He's revealed to me the things that are hidden in my heart that need to be brought forth and prayed for and just washed clean. And so that's what I'm doing. You know, it's my one thing. I pray and remain open to His feet.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, you just heard what she said. It's not so much things around me change. I change. But this whole ministry of Intentional Life Media and Intentional Living has one goal. We want you. This is our prayer. This is what we talk about in our planning. This is what we talk about when we get together. I talk about it at home. Because we're passionate about this one thing. We want you to experience your life the way God intended, and life is tough, and we tend to make it tougher than it ought to be. And I feel for you guys and ladies and each of us. Sometimes because of life, our marriage, your finance, you name them, all these essential practical areas of life, we're a Christian, and yet we've got the power and we've got some things that we can do. And I come back to this thing of, hey, break inertia. What one thing's going to make a difference in your life in the next 30 days? And we're with you and we want it for you. And that's why we're here. And so when you share a story, you're encouraging someone else, right? That's why we do this. All right. Speaking of that, let's get to the phones. Ray is in Arizona. Hi, Ray. Today, how are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great. And yourself?
Good. Good. Appreciate it. Tell us, what's your one thing?
Well, you know, I've been listening to the Charles Stanley Ministries.
Can you speak up a little bit? Your call's a little soft, Ray. Speak up a little bit. Try it.
Okay. I've been listening to Charles Stanley Ministries. Is that better?
Yeah, go right ahead.
And his guidance on where to study the Bible, what verses to go through, has really been enlightening for me.
Yeah.
And it's helped me improve my my Christian living standards. And I'm still not 100% there, but I'm walking more with Christ now. And I'm really feeling good about myself, and I'm getting fit. And it's really touched me in that way.
Wow. That's powerful. I'm going to put you on hold, Ray. The volume's pretty low. That I think it may be at our end here. But if you didn't hear him, Ray was saying, listen, he got plugged into the late Charles Stanley's teaching, Bible studies, getting into God's Word, and it's changed his life. Do you realize that in your life, even if you took 5 minutes every day, 10 minutes every day, to say, I want to get into God's Word or pray or study? To me, when I get into the Bible, I like to read a verse or two and just kind of let it soak in, you know? If I read a long passage, it's good, but I kind of like to go deeper with one thing, right? And God speak to me in this verse. What is this, or this story? What does this mean? How do I apply it? What does this mean in my life? And so maybe when it comes to this one area, like Ray, growing spiritually, finding what that one thing is, and letting it wash over your life. All right, what's your one thing? 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's go to Jenny in New Mexico. What's your one thing for your marriage, Jenny?
To set the expectation. Before we leave the house, and whether it's a little thing, going to dinner at mom's, or it's going out to buy a car or plan a vacation, my husband and I sit down and we talk about what's the budget page, and then there's no issues when we get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And so setting expectations is really important. You do that a lot in your life with other things too, just expectations in general in terms of things going on in your family and relationships and so on?
You know, I tend to be a list maker and, you know, goal-oriented and, you know, kind of work through things that way. And I tend to give myself way too much of a list, and then I get through half of it and beat myself up.
Yes. Are you the kind that after you finish something that wasn't on the list, you put it on the list just so you can cross it off?
No, I do not.
Okay, all right, all right. Okay. That's my problem, but...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One last question. Are you both sort of list makers? So you both kind of think the same way?
Not so much. Or maybe we are, but on different topics.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But you find when you clarify your expectations, things go a lot better in your communication.
Absolutely. And then I'm not glaring at him, or he's not glaring at me over dinner or at the car dealer, or, you know, so we had it out before we left the house.
You know, I believe that God will never have you make a choice in life that will violate his word. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So by knowing the Bible and obeying it, you will do God's will, and you can make the right choices. Yet, even after examining Scripture in light of your situation, it's possible you're going to have times where you're not sure, you're still doubting the direction. It's not a matter of, is this, you know, bad or good? If it is, that's pretty clear. Or is it scriptural or unscriptural? That's pretty clear. But I think many times, finding and discerning God's will comes down to, I'm just not quite clear. I've got it all, and I've prayed, and I still am not getting the answer. So I'd like to close this lesson this month by sharing with you something that I sat down a number of years ago and penned out for myself. 11 questions that I think are profound questions to ask before you make a decision concerning God's will for your life. Are you ready? All right. Number one is the vision question. Will this decision move me toward a life goal or toward solving a problem?
Yeah, that's one of 11, and we'll talk about more of those as we talk about decision making. And that's an excerpt, by the way. If you go online, you can hear the whole lesson, including all the all 11 of those questions that you can ask about finding God's will. I guess that's a little tease to drag you in there to get you to look at it online. And when you do, I hope you'll send it to someone that you know somewhere around the world that's just maybe seeking God's will, trying to understand God's will. And you can have a ministry by saying, hey, take a listen to this. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and it's available for you there. And available because of, why? Because we got some great people who take the time to support the ministry and stand with us and pray for us and all that. And that means an awful lot. We're talking about the power of one thing here. By the way, for those of you, some of you are new to the ministry, to maybe just tuning in for the very first time, let me be real clear. Intentional living is not about getting you saved. Or you know, that's God's work. He's the righteous one, not us. There's just nothing you can do to make that happen other than to be obedient to give your life to Him. That's all the Bible says. You know, it says to us, he loved the world so much, He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. That this is what the Scripture says. If I were doing this, I'd probably come up with some fancy other way, but this is God's plan. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. That's the thing that got Martin Luther really thinking. You know, it's nothing we do. It's who He is. But here's the deal. He's a loving, caring, good daddy, and He has good things for us. And some of us, we kind of run around with things that we do and decisions we're making that are just out of line with what God's loving plan is and intention for us. And I hate to see it. I see it in marriages that fall apart and people's lives, and life is hard. And so we just say, hey, the best way to get this thing going is to, and there's steps that we go through. We got to process intentional living, but it ends with this one. What one thing you're going to do for the next 30 days to break inertia and get going? And the question is, what have you been doing? One thing that's made a difference in your life, spiritually, relationally, practically. 888-888-1717 is my number. Love to have you join us. And we're going, let me see, Tim is next. Go ahead, my friend. What's your one thing?
At one point in my life, I really had no prayers left to pray, Randy. So all I started to do was to pray the Lord's Prayer over and over.
Can I ask what led you to feeling to get to that place?
2 days after 9/11, 2001, my 19-year-old son took his own life, and to boot, I was a youth pastor and a worship leader, and I was reading just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over because I had pretty much thrown away all the other knowledge that I thought I had about God, and I was really trying to figure something out, and all I could do was repeat the Lord's Prayer. So I started with worship, and I didn't really think God was worthy of being told that He is good, and it hurt to tell Him that at the time. And when I was in the black hole of my depression, I didn't have the strength to do one thing, I don't think, but I could repeat the Lord's Prayer. And even though I don't think I even meant it, God's faithfulness is what made the prayer powerful. And so I just cast the physical needs of my family because my other kids were making horrible decisions. My marriage was falling apart. My wife was suicidal. We were a wreck. My youngest son became bulimic, almost alcoholic. We were in a nosedive. There was a lot of hurt in our family, and as any pastor will tell you in the ministry, it's just a place of warfare.
How are you doing now?
Well, I've been married 38 years. My wife and I are ridiculously madly in love. I just took 6 of my 8 grandchildren camping for 4 days up in the mountains. And quite honestly, Randy, if you would have asked me in 2007 if I thought anything like that was even conceivably possible, I would have said no.
Hmm. Boy, what a story. But did you hear? Listen, I'll tell you exactly what Tim did. He did it even though he didn't feel it. And this is what gets us in trouble so often in anything in our life. I don't feel like exercising. I don't feel like eating healthy. I don't feel like saving money. I don't feel like being nice to my kids or spouse or coworkers. And yet he pushed through. He did it because it was the right thing to do, because it was a healthy thing, because God gets the glory and he got the benefit and he's got camping with his grandkids now because he's done the right thing. And many times with the simplicity of intentional living, it's about this. What is it? What's the next right one thing? Myrna, come on in. What's your one thing?
My one thing today is tithing. One of the biggest things that right now I'm struggling the most due to the fact that we've lost our jobs recently. So I guess you could say the little bit of what we are getting is going towards our necessities. Should I say my selfish intention? But technically it's not. It's just our bills. And so we struggle with, should we tie this little small percentage or go towards the bill that we really need, you know? And it's really, really hard, especially when you know that the little bit of money you're only getting is specifically is for that.
Well, Myrna, don't beat yourself up where you are today spiritually. Satan would like to use that against you. And God doesn't need our 10% to be okay. He's not sitting in heaven with his accountant trying to figure out what the balance sheet looks like. Tithing is an act of worship. It's something we do as a result of his intentional love for us. And so I tell people, wherever you are today, start where you are by faith and taking those baby steps. And it may be at this point that your first step is to say, we're just going to faithfully start taking 1% and we're going to start giving that faithfully. And then as our faith grows, we're going to make that 2% and then 3%. Setting some goals, trusting God, taking it one step at a time. Does that kind of take a little bit of the pressure off that maybe you're feeling that somehow or other you're not measuring up?
It's a lot better, yes, because it's a lot to take in, especially, you know, when you're in service and, you know, pastors all the time talk about, you know, if God wants you to bless you, you know, go right ahead and give your 10%. And, you know, it's hard. Yeah, I was a little bit beat up.
Listen, have a plan, have agreement, and move, and trust God and allow him to grow that in your life. Hey, I got to run. Join us. What do you all think about one thing? 888-888-1717. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.